radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Now. And Bregman drives one. Ball. Game. Over. Up on the train tracks. Union Station is starting a party tonight. What a game. What a win.
Mayhem. Now, I wish that happened on Sunday as opposed to Saturday. But your beloved Houston Astros, missing some key pieces, took down a Los Angeles Dodgers team in two or three games over the weekend that was also missing some pieces.
We have breaking news, Paul.
We have breaking news.
The Houston Texans will be without Danico Autry for the first six games of the season.
I was wondering what was going on at Texans training camp because I have yet to really see him out there. So
he's been suspended for violating the performance-enhancing drugs policy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, sorry, back to Astros.
Well, I mean, do we want to talk about this or that?
This is just, it's disappointing that he's going to be out for the first six games. Like, he was one of the biggest pieces of this offseason. And now he's just not here. Like, that's just not how you want to start a tenure for a player on the Texans.
No, it's definitely suboptimal.
Yeah, it's just, that's not ideal, Paul. Not ideal.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Well, Danico Autry suspended for six games. Are you canceling your Texans season tickets over that? Is the pass rush going to be able to get pressure on other teams without Danico Autry? We'll see. I will say, at Texans training camp, I mean, they've been getting a ton of pressure on CJ Stroud all practice long. But anyway, to bring it back to the Astros and what happened over the weekend, they win two or three against the Los Angeles Dodgers. They are still a percentage point ahead of the Seattle Mariners in the AL West because the Mariners are playing against the White Sox, who are absolute garbage. So the take two or three was pretty nice to see.
Yeah, I mean, the Mariners are playing against maybe the worst team ever. They have, 21 wins this season. Look, you take two out of three this weekend, it's good. Like, Sean's right. I wish the Sunday vibes were better. This is, 2 weeks in a row now where they lose on Sunday, and the first 2 days are awesome. Bregman, that was a great moment. The side-by-side video that the Astros put out of Yordan's home run versus Bregman's. Yordan and Bregman both had the same essential bat drop from the batter's box is awesome. But that was great to see. To see that comeback win, and really on Friday, the way they controlled that game, that was a super impressive series. It's weirdly frustrating that they're only a literal percentage point ahead of the Mariners in first place. But you can't ask for much more from this weekend. I mean, you can't always ask for a sweep, or you can't always get a sweep. You can ask for it, but you can't always get it. Because even Eric Geddy was good yesterday. So there was a lot of really positive stuff from this weekend.
100%. I would start with what you got out of Fromber on Friday. And really all Astros pitchers. And while the Dodgers were without Freddie Freeman and were without Mookie Betts, so maybe you put an asterisk next to it. Dodgers fans love asterisks. The strikeouts that they were getting from Fromber on was truly impressive. Eric Geddy doing what he did yesterday. I mean, Eric Geddy did plenty for you. That should have been at least potential for a sweep in that one. Unfortunately, offensively, it just had some really bad luck. I mean, the four hardest hit balls of the game yesterday were all by Houston Astros. You had a couple of balls to deep center field that were in the exact wrong part of the ballpark where it would have left. I would imagine a lot of other ballparks, but the Minute Maid has that weird center field and that big-ass wall. And then on top of that, I mean, he had a couple of hard groundouts too. So, yeah, I'm really happy with what I saw out of the Astros over the course of the weekend. And I feel like, in particular, to watch on that Saturday game where you have four two-out RBIs to make it a 6-4 game. Then you get another two-out RBI to make it a 6-6 game. And you got the Bregman home run. easily the best victory of the year. There's no contest.
Oh, yeah. I saw you put that tweet up. I was racked in my brain, Paul, trying to think of what the other answer would be. I don't think there is one. Like you just laid out, all the clutch moments in that game, it's something the Astros haven't done this year. Like, to be that clutch, that consistently throughout a game, it's been missing from this offense most of the season. And it comes off a day where Blanco's just not very good. His shortest outing of the season, besides when he got yanked out for the pine tar, and to rebound after that was very impressive. And you look at who they threw the next two guys. King goes out there, and then Dubin. And, you know, Dubin gives up one earned run, but you get to the point where you can hand it off to Abreu, Scott, and Hader, and they handle their business. So that it's by far the best one of the season.
Yeah, I think the poll ended up being 95% of people that were voting said that it is the win of the year. I don't really think you can think of any other ones, unless maybe it was one of the ones that you had against the Orioles, that game where you barely hung on and won on that Friday with Blas as the starter. It was really the only one I could also think of as a potential alternate candidate. But yeah, you got a really good performance out of the Astros over the weekend. They take 2 of 3. And, you know, if you take a look at the schedule ahead, and for the Seattle Mariners, who it gets a little bit difficult for them after this White Sox series, and then for the Astros as well, with a Rays team coming up after the Pirates the next three, that is stripping parts. You feel very good. I just wonder what is the next move for this team that clearly needs to add some starting pitching depth.
They do, because as good as Arrigetti was, he's just too inconsistent. He's not ready to be in every, you know, start guy that you can rely on and believe in. And Blanco is just trailing off in a rapid fashion at this point. He does look a little gassed. They need to make a move very quickly. They have, 30 hours to do so. 5 o'clock tomorrow is the trade deadline. So we're right there. It's time to make a move. And there was so much action happening this weekend. I thought we were going to get a move from the Astros, honestly.
Yeah, the Phillies made a move. The Yankees made a move. The Rays just got rid of a bunch of guys. So I don't know when that move happens. Dana Brown did 8 media availabilities, it seemed like. Yes. He had one on Friday before the game. He had one on Sunday before the game. He had one Sunday during the game. And it feels like he is being very patient. I thought what was interesting from Dana was how he said, well, look, with our hitters, we want to keep our hitters. It's hard to develop hitters. Pitchers, we feel pretty confident that we can develop whoever we put out there.
And that's the track record. You know, Blanco, Arrigetti, J.P. France, probably one-hit wonder last year, but Luis Garcia and all these guys who have come up from the Astros organization since well before Dana Brown's time. But I think really once the pandemic season hit, that's when you started to see guys skip multiple levels, be thrust into positions that they're not ready for. And a lot of them have had really great success. So that is the one part of the Astros where you can trade starting pitching from your minor league system, and I'm good with it, because they've just shown that they can consistently develop guys. And maybe they're not all-stars level guys, but they're a lot of guys who are good enough pretty consistently. So, yeah, I saw someone say today that, you know, the Astros, what they're hearing is that they don't want to trade this blue ball kid who's up with
number 69.
Right. Yes. They don't move. Maybe they won't move a guy like that, and they'll move some of these young outfielders they have. You know, Dana Brown talked about, he didn't say they were going to trade from the outfield position, but when he's been talking about positions of strength, you can tell that's what he's talking about. That's where, if a team calls, that's where they're deepest, it is in the outfield, whether it's Leon or Melton or the guys that are on your roster right now. That to me still feels the most likely outcome, is they trade a minor league outfielder for a solid arm. He's kept it realistic. He keeps saying a 3 or a 4. Like he's not out there, you know, over-promising for the first time, it feels like, and trying to act like they're going to get one of the top two guys available at the deadline. So he's trying to keep it realistic, which has been kind of refreshing.
Yep, there you go. 713-780-3776. If you want to jump in, you want to text in, you can join us on Twitter. We actually have a video stream up on our Twitter, @ESPN975 Echelon Says. at Joe George Radio. Coming up next, okay, we got some updates as far as some of the injured Astros and when we can expect them to be back. We'll discuss that. And if you want to weigh in on all the fun things we saw in the Astros and Dodgers series over the weekend, you can. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
The Astros took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend. .001 games ahead of the Seattle Mariners. I don't think the math works like that. Whatever. Go with us. You know what you came for on this show.
I think you got it right.
0.001 percentage. Wait, no. We're just gonna stop.
Okay.
We're just gonna stop. And as torturous as it is on your ear holes, whenever we discuss the math, it was absolute torture for the Los Angeles Dodgers Saturday night. Here is how the radio broadcast sounded when Alex Bregman murdered that baseball.
And a 1-0 to Bregman. He swings. This one's over. Wow. That's up on the train tracks over the Crawford boxes. And for the 23rd time this year, the Astros come all the way back. The Dodgers had a 5-0 lead in this one. And this ball game slipped away. It's the second walk-off home run by an Astro this year. As they win this game 7-6, Bregman's second home run of the series. My goodness. On the second pitch of the ninth, Alex Bregman wins it with a train track home run to left. An absolute monster that went 407 feet.
Yes, the tears of unfathomable sadness.
He started off fine, and then it got sadder as it went. Because like he had the shock of just how far it went at the beginning, and then he just got sadder and sadder as it went. I love that. There was so many Dodgers fans, though, Paul. You were right last week. The video of them like marching down the streets of downtown kind of shocked me.
A lot of people were saying that Californians have moved here. I don't buy that.
Not that many.
I think... this is my own belief that it is a cultural thing and that there is just a group of people that lives here that likes the Dodgers. Is it a Latino thing? Is it a Mexican thing? Truly, I do not know. I threw the question out there. Most people were going with all these Californians are coming here. Again, I do not buy that. I think these people were already here. And man, on Saturday, there were a lot of them. There were lots of Let's Go Dodgers chants. So, cherry on top. In addition to that miserable Dodgers broadcaster right there, you also had some sad people leaving the stadium. Now, I did not check, Joe, the police reports for this weekend. From what I understand, no brawls between Dodgers and Astros fans, no shankies.
That has to be correct.
No bricks to the back of the head.
That's good. No bricks.
No
bricks
punches to the back of the head. I don't even know if we had any brawls.
No, there was nothing. I didn't see anything go viral on Twitter. That would have been all over the place. So must have been relatively contained, which surprises me because there was a lot. They were loud at least. Maybe there wasn't as many as it seemed at times, but they were louder than the Astros fans. That's very clear.
Yeah.
They were. And then Joe Kelly called out Astros fans saying they didn't boo him loud enough. That's a tough look.
I mean, they lost 2 of 3 over the weekend. Altuve, had he taken Kelly yard, if it had gone a little bit further on that ball he blasted to deep center field yesterday, we'd all feel very good about Joe Kelly. There was a moment in Saturday's game where Ronel Blanco hit a Dodgers batter. I forget his name. And Joe Kelly, they zoomed in on him in the Dodgers dugout and he called Blanco the P word, not once, but twice.
Mm-hmm. Why is he still like this? I don't quite get it.
I mean, go back in time, and we talked about this on 97.5, where Joe Kelly said that he would have confronted players at the 2020 World Series on the Big Swing podcast. Okay, Joe, but easy to call the starting pitcher the P word from the dugout, especially since National League pitchers don't throw anymore.
Yeah, and I think if I was his teammates, I also would hate him for this because you're just encouraging the Astros to throw at you. And thankfully, they didn't. The Astros have done a good job this year of not retaliating, whether it's, you know, those 4 or 5 games before the All-Star break where they kept getting hit over and over again and not doing it this weekend.
Yeah.
Even though it's kind of fun in the moment, like if you have an all-out brawl or at least a bench clearer in baseball, it didn't happen this weekend. That's good. But look, you took 2 out of 3. You showed that it doesn't matter what team Shohei Ohtani is on. He can do a lot of great things. He's not going to win a lot of games versus the Astros. It was good this weekend.
There was a moment where Kelly threw behind Yordan Alvarez, and I wondered if that was going to perhaps escalate things at all. No, it didn't. I think it was because it was a close game. Maybe because both these teams have been through so many good games before they looked at it and they said, you know what, no. This one matters. Dodgers wanted to avoid a sweep. The Astros wanted to get that sweep of LA. But, yeah, fun series. They take 2 of 3. So, we always have questions about the Astros and injuries on the team. It's time for another episode of Astros ER. We try to make some sense of what they're telling us about banged up guys like Kyle Tucker, Justin Verlander, and Luis Garcia.
If I expose exactly what's wrong with it, which will hurt him and hurt us.
You don't really know how he hurt it. Sometimes you wake up sore, hurting. You know, he's laughing a little bit more. And
he wasn't crying, but he had tears inside.
Brantley's doing fine.
He said he's feeling better.
It's not his throwing shoulder, so he should be fine.
I'd like to think I have healing power, but I don't.
This is a house of learned doctors.
So, here's what we know about Kyle Tucker. Kyle Tucker, per Dana Brown. There's been so much soreness in the deep bruise of that bone. If you break that bone, it usually takes a long time, weeks. If he would have broke it, it would be worse, but it's still taking longer than we expected. Thank you for the statement of the obvious at the end of that one.
I'm still not convinced that they're telling us the truth and that it wasn't broken because he's still doing little activity. It's a sad place when the most action we saw this weekend from Kyle Tucker is that he was playing catch with Joe Espada. That's the most we've seen. It still seems like he's not running at all at this point. And I to think back to last week when we had the Dana Brown quote about he would be disappointed if Kyle Tucker was not back by September. At this point, I'm expecting a September return for Kyle Tucker. Like, this thing is moving as slow as molasses. It is not, they are not giving any encouraging over the top updates of goals. Like Dana Brown, his tone towards the injuries, it seems to have just shifted to where I don't know if it's they're running out of time to be optimistic with these guys, but a lot of the things he's saying or not saying, with example of Lance McCullers not mentioning him recently as the guy that could come back, they seem to finally be giving us more information if you can read between the lines.
I can't read between them. But we did see Joe Espada have a catch with Kyle Tucker. So there's that.
His arm hasn't fallen off.
His arm works, and he has enough legs to step into throws. Justin Verlander, the latest on him. He threw about 50 pitches in the bullpen Saturday. He's going to throw off the stadium mound at Minute Maid Park in his next session. Just reading this sounds so complicated. Manager Joe Espada said, with hitters standing in to track pitches but not swing. So he's going to face batters in the box without bats.
They're going to stand there and look nice. Why can't they swing? I guess I don't really know how pitchers rehab works because I don't know why they just have to stand there. Maybe they're, I don't know. It makes no sense to me. But he's at 50 pitches, so he's also a couple weeks away at this point, it seems. I mean, maybe if this goes really well, he's one more rehab thing like this away from a minor league start. and rehab start there. This does feel a little bit more encouraging than Tucker because at least, you know, he's going up in pitches in terms of how many he's throwing, and he's not having the setback that Lance and Garcia and these guys have had. So at least he's still moving forward, but also not at a very quick pace. Also, this can't be a neck injury either. There's no way.
Why not?
There's just no way. Like, there's no way that this is a stiff neck. Like the idea that a stiff
neck Dr. Joe.
And a leg contusion are keeping these guys out this long. I can't buy it anymore.
Have you gotten a PhD like old Jill?
Nope.
No? Okay. No. Oh, listen, I'm just asking, but it does seem fishy, all of it. You are right on that front. Luis Garcia, the latest on him, he will face hitters in a live batting practice setting for his next session. Spot has said he's ramping up again after his return from Tommy John surgery. He had a rehab start that began July 4th. we'll see how that goes. Said Dana Brown of Luis Garcia, quote, "I feel in some way he will be able to contribute. It's just depending on the timeline for it. He's going through his spring training right now. If we can get him up here to start games, that would be great. But if we could get him up here to give us some bullpen innings, that would also be great. But at some point, we're hoping that he can get up here and help us out." Two buts in back-to-back sentences, Dana. I feel like they don't really know what they're expecting from Luis Garcia when he comes back.
The first butt is where it's kind of the where I feel we can read between the lines a little bit of he's not starting this year. It's Dana Brown hasn't mentioned the bullpen for Luis Garcia until this moment. So that to me is just a signal of if he comes back this year, which that's the bigger if at this point still. It's not going to be as a starter, which that could work well for you. Luis Garcia in the bullpen could work in the playoffs. I'd be fine with that.
But Dana Brown, when he does eventually come back, spinning as the trade deadline acquisition of reliever Luis Garcia, I'm not here for it. I'm not here for it, especially with Lance McCullers, too. He's going to do the same thing. I just know it. But hey, the Astros took 2-3 against the Dodgers over the weekend. I'm sorry my energy's down. It's because I was at Texans training camp earlier. One, we got to talk about Danico Autry getting suspended for 6 games. Two, there's something else going on at Texans training camp that's starting to get me a little bit concerned. What is it? You'll hear next. Stick around. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. We're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
We began the show announcing that Texans new defensive tackle / defensive end pass rush specialist Danico Autry, who they signed away from the Tennessee Titans, has been suspended 6 games for violating NFL performance-enhancing drug policy. He released what appears to be not an apology on a notes app. It is a statement that he released seemingly from Microsoft Word. Wrote Danico Autry, quote, "Over the course of my 10-year NFL career, I have never engaged in the use of performance-enhancing drugs." NFL clearly disagrees. "Over that period, I have been subject to countless tests, none of which have ever returned a positive result. I was therefore stunned this offseason when I learned that one of my tests returned a positive result." So I guess he's been sitting on this for a little bit. "I immediately investigated the matter and discovered that a pharmacy to which my doctor submitted a prescription for a different medication had, whether intentionally, recklessly, or negligently, included a banned substance. I want to be clear, at no time did I know or even suspect that this medication contained a banned substance. Upon discovering the source of the positive test, I immediately retained legal counsel in connection with this matter. My counsel provided the NFL with information, including documentation from my doctors, establishing that I neither asked for nor was prescribed any banned substances. It was important to me that the NFL know that I did not intentionally or ever knowingly ingest a banned substance. I understand, however, that under the NFL's policies, ultimate responsibility for what enters my body rests with me. To that end, while I intend to explore legal options pertaining to the circumstances that resulted in my positive test, I have accepted the NFL's punishment of a 6-game suspension. I want to apologize to the Texans organization, my teammates, and the fans for any distraction they may cause, and I want to assure our fans that my commitment to competing to the best of my ability has only grown, and I look forward to returning to the field. DeNico Autry, a statement from late last night at 10:10 p.m. that was released after the suspension was announced just about 30 minutes ago.
It's, the NFL, it's tough with this because they so clearly line out. We've heard so many stories that are so similar to this where players get suspended because they are given some kind of medication from their doctor that's not always even football related, and it red flags as a PED test. And the NFL, as he says in his statement, it's concrete in the way they handle this. They do not waver. They do not care where it came from, what it came from. If it's a legal substance and it's in your system, you're suspended for 6 games. It seems that this feels a little different. I feel like that part where he talked about, you know, whether it was intentional or not from a doc, you don't normally hear that.
Yeah.
Statements, that's a little different than normal.
I did read a lot, so let me read that part again. My doctor submitted a prescription for a different medication, whether intentionally, recklessly, or negligently, included a banned substance. I want to be clear, at no time did I know or even suspect that this medication contained a banned substance. There's certainly gray area here. If you are one of these players, are you expected to like put a testing strip in here? I mean, testing strips, I feel like, are only for fentanyl these days. So, and by the way, they were illegal in Texas until not too very long ago. But again, this is not what he is looking for. You do have to be aware of things. I guess really what you got to do as a player is when you get something from a doctor, you almost have to run it by your team to double check to see whether or not everything is above board. So that's either the Houston Texans or that's your agent or something like that. And ultimately, no DeNico Autry for the first 6 games. There could be worse stretches of the season to not have DeNico Autry. I think one of the fortunate things for the Houston Texans is the first 6 games, relatively light as far as the schedule goes when it comes to who they're going up against, the quarterbacks that they're going up against. But as far as giving the Texans a presence on the interior of the defensive line, I mean, after that, it's Foley Fatu Kasi, among other guys who are going to be competing for playing time out there, and you wonder about just that part of the defensive line and whether or not it's actually going to be able to hold up. The defensive ends for the Texans, great. They're loaded. Up the middle, I had questions even after they signed DeNico Autry, and now you have more questions.
Yeah, and maybe because he's really could be an outside guy that they're going to use on the inside, so maybe D'Amico Ryans he's just going to have to get more creative here. Or this is where we see, you know, a veteran who's still sitting out there in free agency, or, you know, now it's all one cut day at the end of the preseason. So in that week off between the end of the preseason and the regular season, maybe and probably would be wise for the Houston Texans and Nick Casario to make a move at that point. You see how the preseason games go and how it looks internally at camp, and you go from there. But it is where they've added so much to the defensive line that in your mind, it's hard to remember that they didn't really address that middle portion of the defensive line. They had Rankins and Collins. Both those guys are gone. And they only got really Foley Fatu Kasi as like the big guy in the middle. So they got to add someone else at this point, unless the defensive line, they're just confident it's going to work super well for them. But I'm not so sure about that. I'm with you.
The pass rush, for what it's worth, has been kicking the Texans' ass offensively all training camp long, and that was the case today. I was out there again. It was practice number 9, and this was the case on Saturday. This was the case on Friday. The pass rush has been giving C.J. Stroud hell, and Laremy Tunsil has not been there for really any of training camp, and there were moments today where Titus Howard walked off the field for a little bit. You wondered if he was hurt again, but he came back out to finish things up. Whatever the case, they were swarming all over C.J. Stroud. And something that I've found rather interesting the last couple of days at practice, Stroud said at the very beginning of training camp that he wants to own the offense more, that he wants to attack down the field, to push things downfield. And when he actually has the time, which is not very often, he's getting sacked a ton out there, he is throwing the football downfield, and it has had very, very, very limited success. So it's great to see that he's trying to be more aggressive, but those quotes are interesting. If you listen to him when he said that, they weren't as aggressive as they read in print when he said it. He's not saying, I need the offense. It's all me. I need to attack it down the field. We got to throw it deep. But throwing it deep hasn't worked, and it does feel like he is trying to make things happen as opposed to taking what is given to him to this point.
Do you, when you see the struggles that are out there, it's mostly just coming from the outside, like you said, with Tunsil not being there? I guess Blake Fisher
is coming from everywhere.
Okay.
It's really been bad. And it's also tricky to gauge line play. I asked Amico about that on Saturday, and he said, well, there's a little bit of give and take. No one wants to hurt each other. No one wants to go too hard against one another. But every single section of practice where it's the Texans' first-team defense going up against the first-team offense and the first-team defensive line going up against the first-team offensive line, without Danico Autry, I've barely seen him out there as it is to this point in camp. They are winning just about every single time. And just something to keep tabs on. It's early in training camp, so at this point, the cliche is the defense is ahead of the offense.
Yeah.
The defense is usually ahead of the offense. But the problem's been usually you want to have a little bit of a back and forth, and I haven't really gotten that the last couple of practices. I've just gotten the defense for the Texans has been giving Stroud fits, and Stroud seems to be trying to force things that aren't there. And considering they have all those weapons that they have, you would think that they would become a little bit easier, but it's not. Part of that is on the defense. They do deserve credit for it. Maybe iron sharpens iron, as they just beat into our heads incessantly. But yeah, I'm a little wary of the offense right now.
Yeah, the glass half full people who are out there, it's, oh, the defense is setting the tone. The defense is just, it's so much better in year two under D'Amico Ryans. But it does, from my perspective, not being there, it just doesn't seem like we've had any moments where you come in here and you say, like, the offense has had a great day.
No, not really. I mean, you've seen some moments between Stroud and Stephon Diggs, but like with Stroud and Nico Collins, occasional. Stroud and Tank Dell, not much. Dell's been dropping a lot of balls. Yeah, it's not looking good, just to be perfectly honest. And I know we're all excited about this year, but some doubts are creeping into my mind, at least as far as how this offense is going to look early on in the year. And maybe it is as simple as Laremy Tunsil being back out there, but oof, this was a rough one.
Do you remember much about last year with the offseason and what CJ looked like in camp? I'm just curious, because I know, last year they did the quarterback competition thing for a couple practices, and then they gave it to CJ. I don't remember.
It was always CJ's. Yeah.
I don't remember going into the season with this idea that, like, what CJ became in the regular season was showing up in practice
I felt like he was getting better from practice to practice. Now, this was during a time where, because of my show being 10 to noon at the point in time, I would only be able to watch, like, the first 30 minutes of practice or so. So, I honestly don't know how much of a read I even got on that. But I felt like, over the course of the preseason, and we definitely saw it in the games, that Stroud took a little step forward in every single preseason game. And then the regular season, it carried over. Right now, there is something going on where their offensive line is just not doing very good in protection. Stroud is under pressure constantly. And instead of, doing the smart thing, taking the check down or whatever, he seems to be trying to force it downfield. Hey, okay, great. It's practice. It doesn't really count. But it's been just a slog out there.
And you look at last year, while, some of his stats are positive, in games in which C.J. Stroud was sacked four more times, they only went one of them. They went 1-4 in games in which he was sacked four more times. That's not great. Like that's not something that any quarterback typically excels at. But there was times last year where the offensive line was putrid. We saw he got sacked 11 times in the first two games, and then he went the next three games without getting sacked. So like it could be a roller coaster as always, but it's just it's not what you expected to hear in camp.
It's as healthy as possible, that offensive line, too. I mean, there's no tonsil, but it's not like he's injured. Howard is out there. We'll see what Howard is dealing with. But, I mean, Howard's there. Shaq Mason's there at right guard. At center, you got Juice Scruggs. And at left guard, you got Kenyon Green. Is it Kenyon Green? I don't know. Is it Juice Scruggs? I don't know. Whatever the case, I mean, they are getting worked in the trenches offensively. And Stroud's just not looking like Stroud. We do have a thought on the Astros calling in. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Keith, what is up?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Yo.
Yo. So, anyways, on a scale from 1 to 10, how pissed off would y'all be if the Astros didn't do anything at the trade deadline? Just wondering.
Pissed off? I don't know if I'd be pissed. I'd be disappointed.
Yeah, it's very... Not when your dad, like, yells at you when you're a kid and you know you're in trouble. Just it's more the... You can tell when they're disappointed in you. That's how I would feel right now.
It's one of those things where I understand why they wouldn't make a move because they don't have much to give up. So I feel like there's actually a defense for them from that perspective if they don't make a move. And making a move out of necessity or desperation, I mean, that's a very fine line. They definitely need some help right now. But what kind of move is it going to be that they go after? But I would be surprised if they don't make a move. Just having listened to Dana Brown, it feels like they're trying. And right now there are some teams that are in a holding pattern and trying to wait as long as they can, hoping that the Astros are going to up the offer.
Yeah, they're going to trade for a starting pitcher. I'm pretty confident in that at the deadline. It's just the quality of said starting pitcher. Is this an impact guy that they're acquiring, or is this someone that's going to help you extend to a six-man rotation and just eat innings to try to save Ronald Blanco and Verlander and Eric Geddy and save their arms and just make things a little bit easier for them and give them more rest throughout the season? Because that's where it kind of feels like we're headed, where the person who they trade for, you know, and when you get to the postseason might not start for you any of those postseason games. Like you're not trading for Garrett Crochet. Like it's not happening. They're not trading for an elite arm. You're trading for a guy just to eat innings. And maybe someone that can contribute, but I wouldn't bank on it.
He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And by the way, I mean, if you're entering Rock the Mic, I mean, get it in. You only got a few more days. The deadline for Rock the Mic is, I believe,
Friday.
It says there it is, August 2nd. To get your entries in, all you got to do is send a 3 to 5 minute video giving your best Houston sports take to rockthemic975@gmail.com. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast hosted on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. If you already have a podcast or you just wanted to start one, now's your chance. The winner gets announced at our live finale August 23rd. At Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to rockthemic975@gmail.com. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, or on Twitter /X, whatever you're calling it now, at ESPN 975. Stick around.
ESPN 975. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Astros took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers over the weekend, and Texans defensive tackle / defensive end Danico Autry, newly signed from the Tennessee Titans this offseason, was suspended for the first 6 games of the NFL season. He put out a statement where seems that he never knowingly took any banned substance. You always got to take those with a grain of salt. I will give him credit. This was on Microsoft Word and not on a notes app.
You're anti-notes app?
I just like to see someone be a little original.
Now, it was a lengthy statement.
He typed it out, maybe.
So, man, that's probably why he also had to avoid the notes app.
Yeah, the notes app can lead to bad things. For example, I mean, just thumbing things on your phone. My phone screen is cracked, and today when I posted a little 100% clickbaity aggregation style post asking who's going to have the better fantasy football season, Nico Collins or Tank Dell, and at one point, because my phone screen is cracked, it tweeted out, instead of at ESPN975, which you can now watch us on Twitter, it tweeted out at ESPN975-69420.
I guess there was a 6-9 in there.
I know, yeah, sarcastic. I mean, that was nice, but the rest of it, not so much. And I didn't see that in for about 10 minutes.
Oh, so it was up there for a while.
Oh, yeah, it was up there for a while. It makes me look like a dumbass.
And that's out of the editing range for Twitter now?
Because I responded to the tweet, you can't edit it. What? So I don't know what the hell the point is of paying for Twitter verification, Elon. You fatty boom batty, if I can't edit the tweet right afterwards. What am I doing this for? I mean, I keep on seeing like random drone strikes happening whenever I go on Twitter. Every single other video is just absolute nonsense from some loony bin on the left or the right talking about X, Y, or Z. I don't want any of that. I just want to be able to edit my effing tweets because I can't type with my phones, you South African piece of crap. Anyway, hey, we're fine. We're happy today because the Olympics are going on. The Olympics. I don't know what's going on right now, but it looks like there's is this the breakdancing?
This is gymnastics.
Oh, this is men's gymnastics floor dance. This guy looks like he's breakdancing. The only thing that's missing is a cardboard mat underneath him. That's it.
Yeah, it's gymnastics, but I don't really understand. He's just spinning. Mm-hmm. A bunch, yeah, on the ground.
He's representing Ukraine very well. Uh-oh. Well, he stumbled there.
Yeah, take away that very well then.
Yeah, they're going to send him straight to the front lines after that mess up. Anyway, the Olympics are underway. The opening ceremony, that was on Friday. The opening ceremony was interesting. We saw some of it on the air on Friday, Joe. And for those who don't know, they all were in boats going down the Seine River. There was some rain going on. There was this weird dude who looked like he was from the Assassin's Creed who was running on the rooftops. And then there was this impromptu fashion show that came out of nowhere. And I'll be honest, I really stopped paying attention after I saw that one gal who was wearing the French flag leotard. I sort of just spaced out. She was a strong, independent, and powerful woman. And I respect very strong and independent, powerful women. But apparently, there's some controversy going on to the point where the Olympics actually deleted the original video of the telecast that they put on right away. Because there was a moment where the French got very French.
Yes.
Basically, they all lined up in what looked to be some sort of representation of the Last Supper. Some are saying it's the Feast of Dionysus, who was a Greek god. That would make sense because of the Olympics. But whatever the case, people got very pissed off about it. And the French IOC apologized to all those who felt offended. So it's not really a great apology. And I love that this is the thing that everybody is talking about after the introduction to the Olympics, not how awesome Celine Dion was in her first public appearance back, the French-Canadian legend on top of the Eiffel Tower singing whatever that is.
The whole thing was weird. After we left on Friday, I didn't watch it. I just started looking at Twitter and seeing all this stuff. This is what happens when you give people like unchecked power and you just let them be as weird and creative as they want to be. You end up having to do an awful apology, which that's not an apology.
No, it was a bad apology.
You can't.
Don't apologize.
If you're going to apologize, you can't only apologize to the people who were offended. You have to either apologize or don't apologize. And you let this person decide it. So just run with it. Also, like what's going to happen? People are not going to watch? Come on.
Yeah, people are already going to forget about this. Now, again, I'm not going out of my way to watch the Olympics because generally I feel like if we're talking about it on the air, it's because of either one, the U.S. screwing up in basketball. Or two, it's because of crazy things happening from an international perspective. And of course, yeah, you can appreciate some of the athletes that are out there. I have no idea what this breakdance guy is doing here, but I mean, it's pretty sick. He's got an American flag top on and red pants. I mean, this is pretty cool what he's doing right now. But ultimately, if we're talking about the Olympics, we're talking about high-speed rail arson or the Olympic Village not having enough grilled chicken and eggs because they're trying to use more plant-based foods to reduce the game's carbon footprint.
That's so stupid.
It is really funny that, like, hey, let's have everybody from the entire world come to this small city, but at the same time, we're going to reduce the carbon footprint. The beds, cardboard prison beds. Air conditioning, Nope, you ain't getting that. Food, plant-based Wonder Burgers or whatever the hell those are called.
Why do these countries and these places get this stuff?
So woke, that's why.
Why? Like
some libs.
You don't have to. You think anyone wants to eat a plant-based burger instead of just having like chicken and eggs? No. No one wants that nonsense. It's just this whole Olympics has been. It's bad that the only thing that seems to be like taking traction, not named Kevin Durant, is all the weird stuff that's happening.
Yeah,
because it's just all weird stuff.
The Canadian women's soccer team had their Spygate scandal. We stand in solidarity with them. Argentina's manager is claiming soccer players had their jewelry stolen. Mm. The U.S. won. At least they killed Serbia 110-84. Kevin Durant didn't miss a shot in the first half. Anthony Edwards did the crotch chop towards Serbia, Serbian fans, Nikola Jokic's brothers. Joel Embiid has been absolute diddly-poo playing for the United States. He was the only guy with a minus on the plus-minus sheet, and he's been getting booed mercilessly by the French, who are trying to get him to play for their country as opposed to his actual country, Cameroon.
So, yeah, the whole when they were talking about that on the broadcast, Ian Eagle and D. Wade, and he's like, yeah, you had three choices. Why? You should have one choice. Maybe two choices. Maybe you can have two choices.
I agree.
You can't have three choices.
I want to see your birth certificate, Joel.
Like you can choose America if you want. And I know he has looked very bad at basketball while doing this. The Jokic over Embiid conversation was not very good for the pro Embiid side.
I don't understand why noted loser Joel Embiid, who plays for another noted loser organization, the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't get why Joel Embiid is playing where Jason Tatum is not. Jason Tatum's a champion. Jason Tatum also an Olympic hero. And here we are putting Joel Embiid out there. Steve Kerr. What's up with that, dude?
Doesn't like Jason Tatum. He said he's going to play in the next game.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
You have a guy that just won an NBA championship, and he's not getting minutes over his teammate, Derek White. I know they play different positions, and they do different things.
I mean, Derek White and Jrue Holiday. I mean, you should just play the Celtics out there. Honestly, the Celtics plus Durant and LeBron. Jaylen Brown not on the team. Insane. Why is Joel Embiid on the team? He's not even American.
They should have just taken all the Boston Celtics, all the American players on the Celtics, add in Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and LeBron, and that should have been Team USA.
That's it.
I would have been fine with
that. That's a 60-plus win team.
Yeah, the NBA champions plus three players. I would have been fine with that.
Yeah, that's what they should have done. But
Sam Hauser playing for Team USA.
Hell yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Hey, he just got like a $50 million contract.
Yeah.
Xavier
Tillman out there.
Yes, yeah. That's who I want. Xavier Tillman.
Taking charges against.
Let's go, baby.
The game was fun, actually. It's the only real Olympic thing I've watched. I watched the basketball game, but that's all I've really, outside of when it's on in front of us here at work. The only thing I've consumed is that first Olympic game.
I've only seen the opening ceremony. I just saw the highlights. If the U.S. loses, I'll watch. I'll watch the highlights, and then I'll act angry and mad. But for the most part, like, I'm not going out of my way to watch the Olympics.
Complain about Steve Kerr's rotations.
Yeah, exactly. Hey. Like, see, I'm finding something to discuss. But they smoked Serbia 110-84.
It was close at halftime.
It was close at halftime. I think because it was on early, it was like 10 a.m., 11 a.m. when it was on. So that was part of it. Like, if it was just during the middle of the day or at night, I'm not watching. I'm not watching. No. You got to be on early in the afternoon.
Yes.
It actually works out much better.
I was going to say, the Olympics in Europe is like a pretty good spot to be in because it is it for America. Because it is like morning. There's nothing else on. You don't have to be like, either I'm watching this or Astros Pirates. It's all going to be in the morning, like right now it's on. But it's also not going to be like late, middle of the night, like Japan in 2021. Where it was like the games were at like 6 a.m.
Yeah,
like,
all the live stuff good. Was unwatchable.
I'm good. And I'm not going to watch it recorded because I already know what happens.
My dad was doing that, and I just didn't. He was watching the basketball game on Saturday night, and I'm like, you already know the score. He's like, I know. I'm like, how are you watching this? I was like, I just don't understand. Like, you know the score of the game.
Yeah, I was just dropping spoilers because the same thing happened to you. I was just dropping spoilers, like walking past my dad, just being like, I bet KD makes all the shots.
That's fun. All right, that's Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George to my right is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros took 2 of 3 from the Los Angeles Dodgers over the weekend. So up next, we discuss, one, perhaps the thing that will stick in your ears the longest from this past series over the weekend. And on top of that, Dana Brown weighed in many times on some of the things that the Astros may do at the trade deadline. You'll hear from him. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.